Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you so much to everybody tuned in all over North America. I hope you've had a tremendous Tuesday. I'll be hanging out with you for the next 2 hours. The show gets started every weekday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. We've had a busy afternoon. We've had a busy evening. Why? The New York Yankees on the verge of elimination. They'll be hosting the Toronto Blue Jays. First pitch in a matter of minutes. Meanwhile, right now in Detroit, Michigan, the Seattle Mariners, they lead the Detroit Tigers 2-0. Seattle whoever wins this game, it's still early. It's the bottom of the third. Seattle might lead this game 2-0 right now. Whoever wins the game will have a 2-1 series lead. So we'll keep you up to date on who might win this game. And then we'll try to keep you up to date as best as we can on the New York Yankees as they're trying to extend their season. They are on the brink of elimination. Blue Jays got to win 1. Yankees got to win 3 in a row. And we've had a busy show. We got into Joe Flacco being traded from the Cleveland Browns to the Cincinnati Bengals. Thank you so much to Jonathan Peterlin for joining us from 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland, Ohio. We just talked about Giannis Antetokounmpo. We heard a story earlier today reported by Sham Sharania that if Giannis were to leave the Milwaukee Bucks, there's one place that he would want to go, the New York Knicks. I think Knicks fans have heard that quite a lot over the years. Hey, we discussed the Jacksonville Jaguars beating the Chiefs last night. In 20 minutes, we'll have a chat with J.P. Shadrick. We'll ask him about the Jacksonville Jaguars. Are they legit? Is Trevor Lawrence finally elevated? What about head coach Liam Cohen? What's going on with Travis Hunter? What's making his defense so great with all the takeaways? We'll have that conversation with J.P. in 20 minutes. You want to be a part of the show? You can. Here's the phone number, 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. You can find me on the internet. I am at JR Sport Brief. You got Twitter, X? I'm there, JR Sport Brief. You got Instagram? I'm there, at JR Sport Brief. You using Facebook to argue with your granny? Or maybe your grandpa arguing with your wife? I don't know. You can find me Instagram, Facebook, at JR Sport Brief. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia, on a street called Peachtree. Thank you to our producer, Ryan Botcher, in New York City on a street called Hudson. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. If you've missed any of the show, you can go ahead and hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. Thank you for listening on your local affiliate, SiriusXM, Channel 375. And if you got a smart speaker, just yell at the machine. Tell it to play the Infinity Sports Network. So much that we've discussed. LeBron's decision to drink Hennessy and not announce a retirement. Got into the Browns, moving Flacco from their team to Cincinnati. And what does this mean for Dylan Gabriel and Shador? And then I just told you about Giannis. Giannis Antetokounmpo is like, hey, if I get out of here, send me to the Knicks. Allegedly. Grass isn't always greener, right? We've heard the cliche. You want to move on? Sometimes you need to be grateful for what you have in front of you. Make the most of it. Because going down the block, getting another house, getting another wife, sometimes it's not all it's cracked up to be. Sometimes where you are, despite the fact that you want to move on, can be a better position and a better situation than what you have. So Giannis Antetokounmpo, take heed, okay? He's going to go wherever he feels that he can win championships, and I think the time is running out for that in Milwaukee. But on a larger scale, in a different story, there is one man who knows a thing or two or three or four or five or six or seven or eight things about championships. No, it's not LeBron. It's Bill Belichick, who has eight championships, six as the head coach of the New England Patriots alongside Tom Brady, and another two as the defensive coordinator for the New York Giants alongside Bill Parcells. I guess there's a lot of Browns involved in this. You could think about Bill Belichick and his time with the Browns. That time did not work out. Bill Belichick deciding to bench Bernie Kosar. He's always been enemy number one in Cleveland. He was able to turn things around in New England, giving Tom Brady an opportunity, a place, and an opportunity to grow into what the hell he is today. And then that ran dry. Bill Belichick was a pain in the ass. Tom Brady said, I've had enough of this. He goes to Tampa, wins another championship, and Bill Belichick is left kind of scraping. You got no Brady, you got nothing. Didn't work out with Cam Newton. Didn't work out with anybody. Eventually, they had a mutual parting of ways between Bill Belichick and the Patriots. At least that's what they say. We know that it was ultimately a firing. They didn't want him anymore. If they were going to let Bill Belichick still coach the team and run the team, then Bill Belichick wouldn't have gone nowhere. He's out of the league for an entire year. He becomes a ridiculously engaging media personality, five different shows, didn't get a chance to coach the Falcons, and he had the itch. He decides to go to North Carolina and coach the Tar Heels, where he has familial history tied into his dad. But things have already gotten worse with Bill Belichick. It's only five games. The North Carolina Tar Heels, they have a record of 2-3. Clemson just smoked them. I mean, we all knew that was going to be the case. I don't care how bad Clemson has been throughout the course of the year. Clemson beat them 38-10. You got people at the ball game leaving. They're like, why am I sticking around watching the Tar Heels get smoked? And when you factor this in, with his 20-something-year-old girlfriend in Jordan Hudson, the botched release of his book, the quotes from her, we're not going to talk about our relationship. Bill Belichick is taking, silly relationship photos with her. There's comments about the emails and television interviews. It's all good if you win, but it's not good right now for Belichick. We're getting these stories about how he doesn't want anything to do with the Patriots, right? Drake May is a starting quarterback. Just helped the Patriots go out there and beat the Buffalo Bills on Sunday night. And apparently, North Carolina, the social media account is not allowed to mention anything Patriots. The word got out, and the next thing you know, they put a post up a little too late, like yesterday. Okay, that's one thing. You got the issue with the girlfriend. Now we've moved into a space where apparently Hulu was going to be documenting North Carolina season. Kind of a Hard Knocks type deal. And that's been squashed because Bill Belichick doesn't want people knowing the inner workings of the school, of his football program. Well, things are also so bad that now we're getting reports out of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, that the parents aren't happy with Belichick, that there's favoritism when it comes down to the recruits that he's brought in, and that you have a lot of players on the team that do not know their role. Let's take a listen to this report, WRAL, on just Bill Belichick's program just smelling like crap right now.
Yeah, I'm hearing there's no culture, no organization. It is a complete disaster. Those are the kind of quotes I'm getting from sources with firsthand knowledge of the inner workings of Bill Belichick's football program. So we've talked to players, parents, members of the coaching staff, the board of trustees, and the athletic department to try to paint a complete picture of what's going on behind the scenes here. According to sources, a divide formed naturally when Belichick was hired. Background players versus the transfers. The way Belichick has run the program hasn't bridged the gap. It's only made it grow.
Ouch. You got Belichick's guys versus the guys who stayed. And then let's think about this. If you're coming in, you're coming in because of Bill Belichick, right? You're coming in because of the name. Let's keep in mind, and this was always a legitimate question. Yeah, you could be a football coach, and you can yell at grown men all you want. Well, hello to Jonathan Gannon. By the way, he was fined $100,000 for yelling at and slapping and kind of punching around a DeMarcado after he, let that touchdown slip out of his hands in the Arizona Cardinals game this past Sunday. If you're a head coach, yell at the guys. Don't put your hands on him, okay? Bad idea. He's fined $100,000 by the organization. Now, has Bill Belichick taken the approach of let me choke up a kid yet? Not yet. But if you were a pain in the ass at the professional level, if you were so grating, and I get it, every relationship goes through its tough times. And when you're working with someone in such a tough environment like the NFL, like Brady and Belichick for almost 20 damn years, like, that's a long time. And so I think it naturally ran its course. That's just human nature. Belichick kind of ticked off everybody, though, along the way. What makes you think that moving on to the college level, you know, he's just going to be all jolly with the kids? He automatically went back to being a curmudgeon after his first press conference. Shout outs to Mike Lombardi. We've had him here on the show. He's running the program as their general manager. But Bill Belichick, there was no certainty that things were going to work out, that he was going to relate, that anything that he did in the NFL was going to transfer. And it's looking like a train wreck right now. I mean, Paul Feinbaum, well, he's a botcher. He's not running. He's not sure if he's running for political office yet, is he?
Not sure yet. He's thinking about it.
We'll see. Right now, he's still on ESPN. And he said that Bill Belichick might go down as one of the worst college coaching experiences and experiments ever.
I mean, we're talking about Bill Belichick, who is the greatest NFL coach in history. Right now, Jeff, he's working toward being the worst coach in college football history. That's how bad he is. There's nothing to be happy about. It's an abject disaster. I feel badly for the guy because it seemed like a good idea at the time. But right now, I mean, who in their right mind would want to go play for him?
The answer is nobody. You look at what's going on right now. And let us also be real. Who the hell looked at North Carolina in the first year and said, oh, my God, they're going to win a national championship? Nobody. Who looked at them and said, oh, my God, they're going to win the ACC? Nobody. People looked at this and said, oh, man, they'd be lucky to get, you know, 6 or 7 games. And then you try to build off of that. I think that's reasonable. But what you don't want and what you did not want along the way are some of the distractions. And this is where things get tricky. And coaches, I don't care what level. If there's one thing you don't want as the coach of a program is a distraction, right? They're not worth it. But when the coach becomes the distraction, therein lies your problem. The Bill Belichick that we're discussing isn't just losing football games. Let me go through this again with you. He's had the girlfriend that he's had to explain, okay? He's had the reports about the rift that it still exists with the Patriots. No, we don't need no Patriots scouts checking out North Carolina players. What? Like, you're allowing your personal beef to get away in the professional development of your players? That sucks. You got this Hulu documentary that you've now said we're not doing. Why? Because we suck and there are a lot of distractions. And now we apparently have upset parents about how Bill Belichick is treating some of the recruits. This is bad. For Belichick, there was no way that I thought that this was going to end like this. I never thought he's going to win a national championship. Maybe he can go out there and maybe in a few years go to a college football playoff. I think Bill Belichick will be gone. He'll be done before we even get there. Bill Belichick, I guess in brighter times, he was asked about bringing on recruits, knowing that North Carolina is a basketball school, haven't had success on the football side. Belichick had an answer as to how he was going to attract talent. Billy, tell me.
This game is on national TV. A lot of your games have been on national TV so far. A lot of people are watching these. How do you overcome results like these when you're talking to people on the recruiting trail, trying to get guys who are in the portal? How do you overcome
this? We're just honest about it.
Honest how?
Honest that we're building, and if you want to be part of the program that's being built, then we're here for you. That's what we do.
Man. I know a story about building, okay? I know a story about building. It's the three little pigs, right? One guy had bricks. One guy had straw. Bacha, what the other guy build that stupid house out of? That other stupid pig. What'd he use?
Good question. It was wood, maybe? Maybe wood? Sticks? Wheat? Straight? I don't know.
The bottom line is, them three little pigs were stupid. The one who built his house out of stone and brick, he actually had a house that stood up. So Bill Belichick can talk about how he's building, and if you want to be a part of this, you could be a man. You ain't building nothing but right now a house of cards. You're bad. Who the hell are you attracting? How are you going to turn things around? Things are looking bad here for Bill Belichick. You want to be a part of the program? What happens when his young girlfriend leaves him? Huh? That becomes a story. What happens when there's a new story about the Patriots? He wants nothing to do with them. Like everything that Bill Belichick has done, and this is the part that really sucks, for being one of the most accomplished head coaches of all time, Bill Belichick he's done this to himself. Oh my goodness. Did Vladimir Guerrero Jr. hit another home run? The answer is yes. A two-run home run for Vlad Jr. His third home run against the New York Yankees. The Yankees are now down 2-0 in the first inning. Wow. Yeah, things can turn fast. Things are not going to turn for Bill Belichick. Hey, we'll keep you up to date with the New York Yankees and these Blue Jays. We'll also keep you up to date with the Mariners and the Tigers. At least their series is tied one game apiece. Right now, Seattle's in a good spot to take a 2-1 series lead. It's the top of the fourth. Seattle leads Detroit 3-0. We'll keep you up to date on all of these games. As Vlad Jr. has now put on the home run jacket, at least the Blue Jays are having fun. When we come back, we'll talk about another team. It looks like they're having fun so far to start the season. It's the Jacksonville Jaguars. They've started 4-1. They beat the Chiefs last night. We're going to have a conversation with J.P. Shadrick. We'll chat with him on the other side of the break. You're locked in. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show, Coast to Coast, the Infinity Sports Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Week 5 of the NFL season came to a conclusion last night. At home, we saw the Jacksonville Jaguars snap an 8-game losing streak against the Kansas City Chiefs to come out on top 31-28. Trevor Lawrence is showing moxie. We saw Travis Hunter play on both sides of the ball. We got all these takeaways that continue to kind of flow in for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And they even have a new head coach who's getting a lot of love and attention right now in Liam Cohen. Well, joining us right now is someone who covers and knows all things Jacksonville Jaguars. You can also catch him covering all NFL games on Westwood One. It's J.P. Shadrick. J.P., how are you, man?
I'm doing well, JR. Great to be back with you, and that means things are going pretty good for the Jags, I guess. Nice to talk to you again.
most definitely, and that's a good thing that they're moving in a positive direction. Well, let me ask you this right out of the gate. You know, the Jaguars have had plenty of coaches that have come in that have resumes. Here you have Liam Cohen, who gets his first job. What have you noticed in regards to what he's built so far? It is early, but what have you noticed?
You know, every time that happens when you have a first-time head coach, you're just not sure how they can handle it. I mean, Liam Cohen has been an excellent play caller, both at the NFL level and at the college level the last number of years. But you just don't know what you're going to have to deal with outside of calling plays until you deal with it. You know, you have to deal with player discipline issues and the media and, you know, all these other facets of being a head coach in the NFL. Oh, yeah, and the game management in game, you know, challenging and when to call timeouts. And, you know, oh, I got to worry about the defense now, too. You know, that's all under your purview. So you just aren't sure how you can juggle all those things. But I think he's been fantastic at all of it. I mean, he's the little growing pains here or there with the operation of the offense at times, getting them play in on time. He's kind of left the defense to their own vices with Anthony Campanelli, and that's been a really strong suit for this team. But, you know, how do you stand in front of a team and earn the respect of a team? And it started from the day he walked in. He's as genuine as possible, and he backs up what he says, and he's a younger guy and can relate a little bit to these players, and they're buying in. So that's the first impressions I have of Liam Cohen so far, and it's felt that way in the offseason, but then you start seeing it in reality. You know, they're winning some close games, they're tight, they're ugly, you know, but they're believing in what he's saying, and it's gone a long way so far.
Well, JP, we know you want buy-in. No bigger buy-in that you need as a head coach of a team than having buy-in from your quarterback. Trevor Lawrence has had his ups, his downs throughout the course of the NFL, his injuries. He's on another coach, another offensive coordinator. Last night, he just seemed a little bit more grittier than what we're typically used to. What are your thoughts and impressions on what we've seen from him so far this season?
Yeah, I think Liam Cohen said he played ticked off. I mean, that kind of makes sense to me when things were a little gritty, a little grimy in the game. And, you know, the passing game wasn't great. He had some bad decisions early in the game, and they had some calls go against him, which they've had earlier in the year. That's fine. But then you just keep playing the game, and you keep finding a way. And then all of a sudden, in the big moment, he makes some big-time throws down the stretch, especially in that last drive to Brian Thomas Jr. and then De'Ami Brown, the play right after that. And when all hell breaks loose, he finds a way with his legs again to score the touchdown. So I think the word you said earlier was moxie, and that makes a lot of sense to me. And we're seeing that part of his game grow. And, yes, he can be better pushing the ball down the field more consistently. He was pretty good at that last night. But overall this year, that hasn't really been part of his game yet, though it has been in his career early, which is odd. Like, he's been pretty consistent on deep balls earlier in his career, but the last year or so, not so much. So get that going more consistently. He's got a pretty good feel of the offense, though, like I said, getting to the line and that play clock winds down. There's a lot of pre-snap motions and calls and things in this offense that they're just going to keep working through. And I think that confidence will continue to build, and the confidence of the players around him will continue to build in the quarterback too.
Yeah, J.P. Shadrick is here with us on the JR Sport Brief Show. Coast to Coast covers all things Jacksonville Jaguars. I know for a team that's currently 4-1, if there's been one point to kind of pick at, I think so much more from a national level, it's the usage of Travis Hunter. You know, last night, a little bit more balance in what he does on offense and defense, had some big catches, a couple of highlight plays there. What are your thoughts on how they have used him over these first five games, and what do you expect the rest of the way?
Well, I think they've been fairly clear and open and honest as they can be or want to be this whole offseason about the approach. I mean, they're going to let it go as much as they can and go both ways. I mean, until there's a matchup that proves that they don't need to do that. You know, if they're doing a run heavy defense that week, you probably won't see him a lot. You're going to see the extra linebacker in there instead of an extra defensive back. And he may not get as many defensive snaps that week. So I think they can have it where they change that. Now he's also a really good man-to-man quarterback. So you want him on the field sometimes too, right? That's the balance of what you're still trying to learn exactly what he's comfortable with and good at. Right. And that's going to take a little bit of time. But you see clearly when he's on the field on offense, he has the ability to go get the football, and on defense too, by the way. But certainly on the offensive side, that play last night down the field, 44 yards against two guys, is a spectacular play. Not many guys in the league can make that. And then his short catch ability and the run after the catch is, you know, all hands on deck on defense. If he gets the ball in his hands 5 yards from the line of scrimmage, I mean, he could go 25 on you in a heartbeat and make two guys miss. So that's that puts defensive coordinators in a jam. Where is he going to be? I think that's the gist of it. Last night was the first chance for a lot of folks nationally to see it in a Jacksonville uniform. And it's just changed every week, depending on what's going on, depending on the scheme. So I think they'll play it week by week, continue to grow it where they need to. And there's really no rush. There's no rules on this. Yeah, they traded a lot to get up there to get him, but he's here. And he's here for a while. So take it at your own pace. Take it at his pace, and he'll contribute where he can.
Yeah, Travis Hunter with a career high, 64 yards receiving yesterday in Jacksonville's win over Kansas City. You talk about the defense. We know that they're leading the NFL right now. Got another takeaway that they were able to convert to points yesterday, 14 of them so far this season when it comes to turnovers. How aggressive has this team been? Everybody can look at Trevor Lawrence and Hunter, but I don't think the defense has got as much attention as they should be.
Oh, man, it's a totally different vibe here. I mean, they had 9 takeaways all last season. Think about that. In 17 games, they couldn't do anything on defense. 31st in the league in total D. You know, they had really the last couple of years it's been like that around here. Just really poor schemes, and the players just didn't feel right a lot of places on that defense. So they revamped the whole thing. New coordinator in here in Campanelli. It's his first time as an NFL coordinator as well. And they revamped the secondary too. New safety, Eric Murray, veteran guy, been around, smart guy, knows where to play. I think you'll get Jordan Lewis from the Cowboys, nickel cornerback. And he's one of those that brings a little more aggression to even the locker room and wants things done a certain way and has that leadership ability. They were lacking that on defense, especially in the back end. Like, they were guys running all over the place. The safety position was a liability. So that was a priority in the offseason, to get some veteran players who know where they're supposed to be and can lead. And they may not be as fast as some others. That's fine. But if you're in the right place, you can overcome some of that. And that's what they've done so far back there. And that linebacker, I mean, Devin Lloyd, I mean, he was nowhere. He was nowhere to be found the first 3 years of his career. And he was a liability in pass coverage. They were asking him to chase guys 20 yards down the field. That was a reason why. So they've changed it for him, where it's maybe not every snap, but it's a downhill mentality. We're going to get you up on the line. You know what? We'll rush you sometimes. And if you're going to cover something, it's going to be a very simple concept. You go back, like the interception last night. That was off film study. Hey, this is the situation they do at the goal line. You fake it. You go back, and they're going to throw it to you. And they did. So Lloyd has been huge. Secondary has been great. They punch. They rip. And they're opportunistic, and it's leading the way for the Jags.
Well, knowing where they currently stand, 4 wins, 1 loss, they're tied right now with the Indianapolis Colts for the lead in the AFC South. Both have 4 wins and 1 loss. What do you expect the rest of this way? Are you feeling confident that this Jacksonville Jaguars team can get to the postseason either by winning this division or wild card?
Well, yeah, I mean, their confidence is sky high right now, and they know, and they were saying walking off the field last night, I mean, gosh, we've got so much to clean up right now. That's before they even get to the tunnel to get off the field, and they're going toe-to-toe with the Chiefs, the perennial power in the NFL right now. And they went to San Francisco and knocked off the 49ers. Yeah, they were missing a couple guys, but they're still the 49ers. So if they play clean football, I mean, they're going to be a real force, I think, in this thing. But again, it's week to week. Let's see what happens this week. Seattle comes to town. They've got some good things going on as well. And then it's a long trip to London to face the LA Rams, who are fantastic. And, of course, there's a lot of connections between these two franchises now and the new staff here. So I think we'll find out the next couple of weeks, and there's a bye week after that. So get to the bye week, see where they are, see if they can improve some of that offensive consistency down the field. They've been running the ball pretty well. They've got some injuries now that have popped up on the offensive line and at tight end. So see how you handle through that. But there's confidence there. And you got to start with that, because there's been years There's been no confidence in the first month of the season, and you can't get it back once you lose it early. They've got it now, and then they're not even playing a total clean game of football yet. So I'm curious to see when they actually put it together what this team can do.
How about that, JP? It seems like the days of Urban Meyer are long and gone, huh?
Oh, don't even bring it up anymore. I mean, come on. It's so far in the rear view now. It is amazing, though, right? I mean, this is the sixth head coach since Shad Khan has owned the team starting in 2012. They tried it a number of different ways. They've had two playoff runs in that time in 2017 with that great defensive running game, 2022, the late rally in the season in 22 to get in the playoffs, and none of those were sustainable. So let's get through this season. Let's see if they get where they want to go this season, and it just feels like a different kind of vibe around here with the leadership involved right now.
Hey, the fans, everybody there, they certainly deserve it. JP, tell everybody where they can keep up and follow you or your work with the Jags as well as Westwood One.
Yeah, Jaguars.com, official team website, our radio shows and video interviews and locker room access, all that's there, of course. And then on Westwood One, I'll actually have the Jaguars game for Westwood One. I'll do Jaguars pregame on radio. Then I'll slide two tables down and call the game on Westwood One. To a neutral national audience. So that's a pretty interesting trip each and every year into London. Then we've got some holiday games for Westwood. I do some college football on the side as well for Touchdown Radio. So busy schedule coming up in late October and most of November.
Hey, a pro's pro. That's why we always appreciate the time, JP. Thank you so much. Safe travels. Enjoy the ride with the rest of the season, okay?
JR, good to talk to you, man. Thanks.
All the time from JP to JR. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. When we come back on the other side, I'm going to tell you about the Defensive Player of the Week, brought to you by the Navy Federal Credit Union. Also, yeah, things are great for the Jacksonville Jags. I told you things are not all that great for Bill Belichick in North Carolina. I'm going to tell you who things are not going great for. Jerry Jones got a big old fine. I told you about Jonathan Gannon. Got a big old fine. And then, well, Mark Sanchez, he got a lot of trouble over the weekend. Don't get drunk and act like an idiot. But apparently his employer, Fox, is also potentially in a little bit of trouble. We're going to talk about some bad things going on the other side of the break. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. And right now it's time for a news flash. Not a bad thing, but a good guy. Here he is, Rich Ackerman.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Hey, thank you to JP Shadrick for joining us, talking about those Jags who are 4-1 after beating the Chiefs last night. And speaking of an umbrella, I don't know if this is what the fans in Detroit wanted. They had to wait, use their umbrellas all afternoon after a hours-long delay. A Seattle, they still lead Detroit. 4-0. It's the bottom of the fifth. A Seattle with this lead is trying to take a 2-1 series lead. Meanwhile, in the Bronx, New York, the New York Yankees, well, they're trying not to be eliminated. Okay, as it stands right now in the Bronx, the Toronto Blue Jays, they lead the Yankees 2-1. If the Yankees don't win, the Yankees are gone. God bless them. At least it's the still the first. Well, damn it, it's the middle of the second. They're getting ready to go to the bottom of the second. Let's see what the New York Yankees can do with the bottom half. We'll keep you up to date as we continue to roll on. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. It's time for me to tell you about the Defensive Player of the Week, brought to you by the Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. And the Defensive Player of this week is Jaguars linebacker Devin Lloyd. Hey, J.P. Shadrick just spoke with us about him. Jaguars beat KC 31-28. Lloyd had that 99-yard pick six off Patrick Mahomes, helping to give the Jaguars that 21-14 lead after they had just tied things up. Jacksonville, it's their first win over Kansas City, breaking an 8-game losing streak, their first victory since 2009. We heard it from JP. And things are different here under Shad Khan, right? Typically, he seems to be an owner. The Jaguars are, you know, in the news for the wrong reasons. Guys like Urban Meyer. You got dudes in the accounting department who are stealing company funds to fund their gambling addiction. I wish these were fake stories, but these are all accurate stories. And so at least for right now, things are working out for the Jacksonville Jaguars and their fans. I got to tell you about some things that aren't working out for a few other individuals. We discussed this yesterday, and not long, because, well, it was an ass whooping. The New York Jets got annihilated by the Dallas Cowboys 37-22. Doesn't sound like an annihilation, but at one point the Cowboys were up 30-3. Every point that the Jets got was basically in garbage time. There was a clip of Jerry Jones, the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, flipping the bird to the fans at MetLife Stadium. Jerry Jones wanted to flip the script and basically say, "No, I was celebrating with the Cowboy fans and I inadvertently put up the middle finger. I meant to do a thumbs up." I have never heard somebody lie through their teeth. Well, I have. I have. Listen to Jerry Jones lie about flipping the bird. He was on the fan down in Dallas.
You know, that was unfortunate that was a kind of a exchange with our fans out in front of us. There was a swarm of Cowboy fans out in front, not Jet fans, Cowboy fans. And the entire stadium was brimming with the enthusiasm of Cowboys, and certainly late in the game. And that was inadvertent on my part, because I was that was right after we'd made our last touchdown. And we were all excited about it. There wasn't any antagonistic issue or anything like that. I just put up the wrong show on the hand, but that was inadvertently done. And I'm not kidding. It was, if you want to call it accidental, you can call it accidental. But it got straightened around pretty quick. I've had a chance to look at it. It got straightened around pretty quick. But the intention was thumbs up, and then basically pointing at our fans, because everybody was jumping up and down excited.
Damn. Bacha, have you accidentally ever given somebody the middle finger?
No. I think that's two fingers too far away.
Okay. You mean to tell me you've never meant to give somebody a thumbs up and given them the middle finger?
No, I haven't. But also, I'm not as old as Jerry Jones.
Okay.
So maybe when I get older?
Possibly. Well, maybe the wires don't connect in his brain the right way. The NFL, they didn't give a damn. The NFL did not agree. Jerry Jones, with his Dallas Cowboys worth, I don't know, $15 billion. Jerry Jones was fined $250,000, $250,000 for flipping off fans, for inadvertently flipping the bird at MetLife Stadium. I don't know. I assume that Jerry Jones will still send a Christmas card to Roger Goodell. Okay, so that's on one hand. You might recall a couple of seasons ago, David Tepper, the owner of the Carolina Panthers, he seems like a jerk now that we've seen him for a few years. You thought Jerry Richardson was bad with the sexual assault. David Tepper's not there. But he did get fined $300,000 for throwing a drink. Okay, as some Jaguars fans, speaking of Jaguars, just a couple seasons ago. So, hey, $300,000 fine for throwing a drink. You flip the bird, you get fined $250,000. Now, that comes at the hands of the NFL. Meanwhile, if we take a look at the Arizona Cardinals, well, we heard from their own quarterback, Kyler Murray, that they basically showed everybody how to blow a game, how to choke and blow a game 101. The Titans went out there and beat Arizona 22-21. and there was probably no bigger mistake or play than DeMarcado, the running back in place of Connor, because Connor's out. DeMarcado had the football, could have extended the lead by going out there and kind of rushing for a touchdown. It was right there in front of him. He dropped the ball, let it roll out of bounds, and they got a score, the Tennessee Titans did. And then there was another turnover where they were able to come back and win. And so DeMarcado felt like crap. You know, here you have a chance and an opportunity to score a touchdown, and you kind of fumble it away for a score. And one guy who was not happy with him was head coach Jonathan Gannon. He was caught on the sidelines going up to Amari DeMarcado and kind of pounding him and slapping him in the chest like, I don't know, was he encouraging him or telling him that he sucks? Probably both, probably more of the latter. Well, Jonathan Gannon, he was fined $100,000, okay? The Cardinals fined him. We didn't hear about the NFL fining him. But the Arizona Cardinals, his own organization, said, you got to ante up. You can't go out there and beat up on your own players. You can't get physical with them. Jonathan Gannon ultimately apologized, but let's take a listen to what he had to say after the game about that interaction. He wasn't proud.
I woke up this morning and didn't feel great about it, honestly. And so in the team meeting, I addressed it. I apologized to Omari, apologized to the team. And I just told him I kind of let the moment of what happened get the better of me there. Obviously, like I try to be emotionally stable and calm because my job is to solve problems when during a game and kind of lead the charge on that. So it's not really who I am, who I want to be, and I told the guys that today. So it's a mistake by me, and it's just like everybody in there. Everybody made some type of mistake yesterday, which is, you know, culminates to why we didn't win the game. And we can't let it happen moving forward.
Oh, boy. Okay. Well, they got the Indianapolis Colts next. And, I mean, the Colts happen to be 4-1, and the Arizona Cardinals are so up and down, you never know what's going to happen. But I do believe after $100,000 in fines for kind of getting physical with his own player, I don't know. They just seem like they're doomed. They're getting worse. I mean, when you got to deal with the coach kind of getting physical with a player, yeah, not all that good. I think Jonathan Gannon is helping to maybe expedite his own removal in Arizona. I also don't think things are ever going to work out with Kyler Murray. So good luck on that end. And also, somebody else had to deal with some bad decision-making. We know Mark Sanchez is dealing with felony accusations of assault, felony charges for assault, beating up this grease truck driver in Indianapolis. He got stabbed up for his troubles. Well, apparently, the truck driver isn't just suing Mark Sanchez. The truck driver is also now suing Fox. And Mark Sanchez's family, I guess they put out a statement. What? Listen to this from ABC News.
The Sanchez family tonight releasing a statement saying, in part, Mark and our family are incredibly grateful for the concern, love, and support we've received. Mark remains under medical care and is focused on his recovery as the legal process continues.
As the legal they got you on camera. People are witnesses saying you beat the guy up. I don't know if putting out a family statement was the best thing to do. The truck driver suing Mark Sanchez and Fox. Like, what the heck does Fox have to do with this? They employ him, so now you got to sue them too. I guess why the hell not? Yeah, I'll explain a little bit more on the other side of the break. We'll give you an update on Seattle and Detroit and Toronto and the Yankees. And how about this? LeBron James made his decision to drink Hennessy. The NHL. Well, they started tonight. Did you notice? We'll talk about it. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.